This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time to talk to our football guy, Elliot Shore Parks. We're broadcasting live from the Novacare Complex for 94 WIP's Champ Camp. It's driven by Forest River RV Camping World, RV sales, service parts, and accessories. Elliot, who, of course, took a practice, said we saw him taking pictures with fans.
He's blowing up.
He was. Well, he's got a lot to tell us about because the Eagles had a few practices since we last spoke. Elliot, how are we doing today?
Man, I'm sure Hugh can relate to this. Like, by the time you get to day 9 of training camp, it's tough, right? It's tough physically. It can be tough emotionally. Then you play a song like that, and I'm all riled up and ready to go again. So good job by Kyle bringing in the banger to start the
day. Yeah, you know, it's funny. We were talking about in the break, L, about how, you know, we've been out here quite a few days. And
yeah.
Starting to wear on us a little bit.
You almost call him L?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people used to call me that back
really?
In the day.
I've never heard of that.
Feels like a new one on WIP.
L?
It's got to be.
I have a cousin named Elliot, and we call him L.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Maybe we found our nickname for Elliot on our show. L.
ESP, L, yeah.
Whatever you want to call. Yeah.
I'm good with it if you are. So, Elliot, we're feeling a little drained sitting here watching practice.
It's a little much.
You're actually out there taking in practice, and so your eyes, your ears. So talk us through today. What'd you see out there? And really specifically, was it a better day? And the last few, have they been better for Jalen Hurts? Because last time we talked, the passing game was not humming at the end of last week.
Yeah, so the way Nick Sirianni sets up practices, there is pretty much a winner and loser of the day. The offense and defense compete against each other. They keep score, who wins what individual drill. In the last few days, it feels like the defense had come away with the win. Situational drills, the Eagles' offense wasn't as sharp. Red zone, the passing game wasn't getting them in the end zone. So it felt like they needed a win. And as we've talked about all offseason, when you need a win, you know the quarterback to call. So Jalen Hurts got the win today for the first team offense. There were two plays I thought really stood out. Situational drills where they needed a completion and Jalen got it done. Third down on their own 2-yard line. So he was backed up in the end zone, drops back, hits Devontae Smith for the first down. And then there was another drill later in practice where it was 3-3. So the defense had won 3 drills. The offense had won 3 drills. So this was overtime. This was not, I believe, a planned rep. They bring the first team offense out there. They bring the first team defense out there. Everybody's going crazy. They're all talking. The music's playing. Jalen drops back, hits Devontae for the first down. Offense gets the win on the day. They win that rep 4-3. So, you know, I thought that what's been a kind of maybe a rough few days for the quarterback and the first team offense, Monday was back to a step in the right direction of getting things going.
All right, that's great to hear. Elliot, give us the latest on injuries. And should we be worried about any of these? It feels like there's a decent number of guys each day that are missing a day here or there, some more than that. We know right now A.J. Brown, probably the biggest name with a hamstring injury. We know Bond's been down for a little bit with a back. Give us the latest on the injuries, and are there any that you have circled, like, let's watch that one?
So I'm not concerned about AJ. Now, obviously, it's a hamstring injury. It's it's a leg injury. Like, you don't want to hear that with any player. Like, lower body injuries can be the worst to deal with, especially for skill position players. So the fact it's a hamstring is not great, but, you know, he's out there at practice, not practicing, but he's on the sideline talking to his teammates. He's not, like, running, but he is certainly moving around. Doesn't seem to be walking with a limp. My guess is he probably won't be back out there until Saturday at the earliest. They practice tomorrow, play a game on Thursday, and he'll be back on the practice field Saturday. If he's not out there Saturday, then maybe you start to get a little bit more worried. But until then, I wouldn't be overly concerned. And then the other one that you didn't mention, but Nolan Smith, he's missed a few practices with a concussion. He was back out on the practice field yesterday in a limited capacity. He was out there today, and I'm pretty sure I saw him on the field for a team rep. I missed this part, but Dave Zangaro of NBC Philly tweeted that he went inside with trainers during practice. So that's definitely, I think, one to monitor. Whenever a player comes back from an injury and has to leave, you obviously worried about that. So we'll see how he's doing.
You know, you talk about AJ not practicing and Nolan Smith not being out there. So I ask you, Elliot, did anybody in the receiver corps jump out to you? Or, you know, that other linebacker, since those two guys went out there, did you see anybody flash out there today?
Yeah, so the receiving battle is an interesting one. Obviously, AJ, Devontae, and Dotson are going to make the team. They'll be the top three receivers. And then it's a battle behind those guys for both roster spots and for playing time. And I don't think over these past few days anybody has separated themselves. I think on the whole, Elijah Cooks has had a really good camp. He's tall. He's fast. He's made a lot of plays in the first few days of practice. But the last 2 days, he's had a lot of opportunities come his way. And whether it's good coverage or whatever, he just hasn't been able to come down with it. So I feel like he's lost momentum a little bit. Anais Smith is getting some first-team reps. Not really sure he's done much with them. So that receiving core is still a lot of questions behind the top three. And then at the linebacker spot, Smile Mondon Jr., the rookie out of Georgia, was getting first-team reps today with Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Jahad Campbell has been awesome pretty much every day. He's been out there. He was running with the threes today, but I wouldn't read too much into that. I think Fangio just putting those guys in different parts of the day. So the linebackers have been awesome. They should feel good about where they're at. And then when Bond gets back, presumably they'll be even better.
Elliot, what did you make of Vic Fangio's comments this morning about his corners? He was asked, as anyone stood out, you know, between Adoree Jackson and Keely Ringo, and he didn't say yes, right? And he also gave some praise to both of them. I heard him say Keely's going to be a good tackler, and Adoree's done well the last week or so, but it doesn't seem like anyone has stood out. What did you make of that answer from him about that second corner spot?
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think either Keely or Adoree have stood out, for better or worse, honestly. Like, it's not like either of them every day are getting beat down the field. Adoree, I thought in yesterday's practice, got beat on a deep route to Jahan Dotson, and Jalen missed the throw, but really should have been a touchdown. Keely has had some rough days at camp, but I think, you know, he's had some good reps too. Yesterday, he had a really nice pass breakup on a throw to Dallas Goedert from Hurts that should be a high completion pass. It was probably about a 5 yard out to the left sideline. Jalen completes that pass 9 out of 10 times, but Keely got there and knocked the ball away. So if they were to play the Cowboys tomorrow, or if, like, you know, the season opener wasn't a month away, it was in 2 days, I think it would be Adoree out there, but I definitely don't think it's decided.
All right, speaking of the Cowboys, a month away, obviously the biggest story in the NFL right now is the Micah Parsons trade request, and we'll see where it goes, or if that actually, you know, comes to fruition. But obviously we're discussing the idea of the Eagles trading for him and how much we would offer. Elliot, I'm curious your perspective, not so much on the player. I'm interested in what you think of him too, just as a player, but a lot of the pushback I've been getting from Hugh, from Kyle, from callers is basically some variation of, he's kind of a loser and the Eagles are winners. Let's not bring that kind of player to Philadelphia. Where do you come down on that? Because I think if they acquired him, he'd assimilate and help them win a ton of football games, because they bring all sorts of people in here and they win tons of football games.
So I do think it's an important question. I don't think it's something that should be just dismissed, because they do have a leadership void to an extent on the defensive side of the ball. On the offense, they have AJ, they have Saquon, they have Jalen, they have Lane Johnson, they have Landon Dickerson, they have, you know, Mailata. They have so many big established personalities. That's not the case on the defensive side of the ball. The guys on the defensive side of the ball are growing into their leadership roles. Jalen Carter, Quinion, Cooper, Nolan Smith. And if Micah stepped into that defensive side of the ball, he becomes the biggest and most important voice on the defense. You could argue Jalen Carter, but I think Micah, he's more established, would be that. So I think they have to know what kind of person he is. But my opinion of that would be, I don't think he's a loser. Like, I would do research on it. I would try to get that answer. But it's hard for me to call a defensive end a loser. Like, people said this about Darius Slay because he did a podcast.
Yep, yep.
I'm fine with that. Like, Slay, I think the public got Slay completely wrong. Players in that locker room love Slay. Like, the young players, he was helpful. So I don't think Micah's personality to me is a red flag, but it's definitely something they need to look into.
All right, say they did look into it. Would you offer something like Nolan Smith in a first-round pick? Would you do that deal?
All right, so can I try an analogy and you tell me if you think it's a good one or not?
Sure.
Go for it.
All right. So I love to buy soccer jerseys. I love to buy clothes. Like, I love to spend money on clothes.
Fashionista.
Right? So exactly. So there's always that moment where I buy this, then I buy that, then I buy another, and I got something in my cart, and I'm like, ugh, I know I shouldn't do it. It's irresponsible to buy it. That's how I view Micah Parsons. Like, do they have the money to do it? Probably. They could make it work. But let's be honest, they should not be giving up what it's going to take to get Micah Parsons. It might be fun to get him, and they will certainly make him better, but we all know deep down it is an irresponsible decision to give up multiple picks and the contract that it's going to take. The only teams that should be doing that are teams that are desperate for a change, and the Eagles are not desperate for a change. So I would not go and spend what it takes. It'd be fun to do, and it would make them better, and if they did it, we'd all enjoy it, but we all know deep down it's an irresponsible decision.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, it could be irresponsible.
Did the analogy work for you?
Did like the analogy.
It was a good one.
You like that?
You did a great job.
Yeah, I would. Irresponsible feels like a strong word. Like, they don't really need it. I agree with that. But boy, but there's another angle to this, Elliot. If that shirt you put back, right? That jersey you put back. Who cares who the stranger is that picks it up next? This is the NFL. There's only 32 teams. So if Micah gets moved, someone else trying to take the Super Bowl trophy from you will get him. Right, like the guy that comes in the store after you, if he buys that jersey you put back, it doesn't affect you in any way. If Micah Parsons goes to the Commanders or the Bills or the Rams, it directly impacts the Eagles' chances to win the Super Bowl.
So I agree with that, but I can't allow somebody else's decision to impact what I do with my money. Like, yeah, it's going to hurt not to have Micah for sure, or not to buy whatever it is I want to buy. But if someone else is going to do it, go for it. I know that in the NFL, it is really only worth giving up massive amounts of picks and massive money for quarterbacks. You can give up one first pick for a receiver. You can give up, you know, a second for certain players. The only players that are worth giving up multiple ones plus more draft picks, plus, let's be real, 150 probably million in guaranteed money are quarterbacks. And that is not worth it for Micah Parsons. So if they were to do that, you have to deal with the ramifications. Maybe they're not able to re-sign Quinion and Cooper. Maybe they have to move on from AJ or Devontae next offseason. Maybe they make Jalen Carter wait a year and that becomes a tense situation. They have a good setup right now. And for me, a Micah Parsons move is a big-time game changer, and this team does not need a big-time change in their game.
How do you think it ends? He gets re-signed by the Cowboys, or they actually move him?
So if I were the Cowboys, I would trade him, to be clear. Like, I think you cash in on him now. They're not going to be a team that is a real contender this year. But I think he probably stays. I think they'll pay him. I think it'll all work out. But I think it's a mistake. I think they need to move on from him and rebuild there in Dallas, and that'd be a good way to start it.
I agree with that. I think they'd actually be in better chance to win long-term if they trade him. We'll see. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on, as always. And I guess rest up. A few more days.
Yeah.
A few more days of real camp, right? Then once the preseason starts, it changes.
Well, but we do got the joint practice against against the Browns next week. So very excited.
Oh, yeah, you
for
get to go
one.
To Cleveland, huh?
No, thank
here.
God.
Cleveland's
I'd have to
here?
Go to Cleveland.
They're coming here.
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
I don't think we're going to
we get
I got to stay in Philly.
So we get to watch Shedeur Sanders next week.
We get to see Shedeur.
I'll get to track Shedeur Sanders' stats. So it'll be, you know, the great meeting of everything when that happens.
But, yeah, that's a big week.
It'll be fun.
All right, Elliot, we appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Have a good one.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks here. Did you like his analogy with the shirts?
I did. Yeah, because that's basically what we're talking about. It's like for us fans.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We see a shiny new toy.
Yeah.
And you want that toy because, you know, it'll go well with the other pieces that we have.
Well, make them all better.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, how much am I spending for it? And do I really need it?
So I liked his analogy. But again, there's not only 31 other people in the world you're being judged by your looks on. Right? Like, if you don't buy the shirt, who cares who buys the shirt? If Micah gets traded somewhere else, he affects the Eagles.
Well, not really. I don't think so.
Well, sure he does. If he goes to a playoff team, he will affect the Eagles. He will be in their path to win the Super Bowl. Right now, he's not because he plays for a bad team.
I don't think so. Because, like I said.
But he will.
Well, I don't think so. Because
you don't think he will affect them, but he will be on a team in their
way.
Okay,
he will be on a team in their way, yeah. So I give you that. But when you talk about directly affecting or disrupting anything, as far as what the Eagles are trying to do, I don't think so.
So I've heard a lot of this today from our callers. I think we have Lane Johnson syndrome, and we are not understanding how good Parsons is. Because he doesn't typically ruin the Eagles-Cowboys game. None does any end that Lane Johnson goes against. Like Von Miller in his prime didn't beat Lane Johnson. Mm-hmm. You know, Khalil Mack in his prime didn't beat Lane Johnson. Would we have not wanted those players either? The idea is him on the Eagles, not what has he done against the Eagles.
To me, I look at it like this. And I hear what you're saying, and I acknowledge that.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're a little distorted. Like, not you, but like people are like, well, I watch him play the Eagles. He doesn't affect the game. No. Well, he goes up against Lane in my lot.
Okay, put it like this. This is how I see it. I'm going to use Myles Garrett as an example. If Myles Garrett played for Commodores and we played them in the NFC Championship game, that's a disruptive player. That's a problem. You know what I mean? He's a problem. He could potentially disrupt the game plan. He has that ability. To me, Micah Parsons isn't that guy. And that's as simple as it is. You can scheme and take Micah Parsons out of the game. That's how I look at it. Like, you can run at Micah Parsons and nullify his game. You run at Myles Garrett, you might have a problem. You see what I'm saying? That,
yeah.
I'm not talking about because the pass rush aspect is one part of it. But when I look at the Eagles and what their bread and butter is now, run the ball. If I was playing against Micah Parsons, say in the NFC Championship game, say if that was the case and he was lined up wide, I'm running at Micah Parsons. Everything that I'm geared towards, I'm going to find out where he is, and I'm taking him out of the game.
You know, be fascinating this before you say what you say, Kyle. What Vic Fangio would think with Truth Serum about this. Like, let's say there was a shot the Eagles could get him. Like, mm-hmm. Howie's on the phone with Stephen Jones, and, like, they're having a real conversation. And then he goes to Vic and says, Vic, it would cost an arm and a leg a ton, including a young player from our defense. What do you really think? Because Vic Fangio has coached a million edge rushers, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it be the guys last year here, whether it be Khalil Mack, whether it be Aldon Smith. He's had all sorts of different edges in 40 years in the NFL. I wonder Maybe he would lean to what you're saying, Hugh, and say, yeah, he's really good, but it's not. I don't think it's worth it to give up an arm and a leg. Or maybe he would say, if I get this guy, he could break the sack record. I don't know what he would say.
And this is an extreme comparison. Extreme. Bryce Huff. Him and Bryce Huff.
I mean, come on.
Like, when you talk, I have seen games, in playoff games, on money downs, his bread and butter. Michael Parsons on the sideline.
But he's only played a few playoff games. Miles Garrett has one sack in three playoff
but
games.
But I don't care, Joe.
But that's such a small sample.
But it's still a sample nonetheless.
Oh.
As a pass rusher, as an old-ass pass rusher that I once was, for you to be on the sideline in a money down, breathing, huffing and puffing because you tired, that,
but he's played like 90% of the snaps.
That was in the Green Bay game.
They were getting
rocked. Who's the other end that played that? That's why
Lawrence.
Him and – yeah. Lawrence. He was talking about it. He came up short.
Plays 90%
of
snaps.
The one thing you cannot do as a pass rusher on a money down is not be out there to get the money.
Hugh Douglas would never.
Yeah. Hey, hey Kyle. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be out there for that money.
Now. I've seen the sacks list.
I might not play the rundowns.
Oh, now we get back to reality.
I'm just saying.
What were you gonna say, Kyle?
Does she do anything for us?
Well, I was gonna say with the Lane Johnson thing because. We had a little bit of a back and forth earlier about, well, what if he goes on Buffalo when we play them in the Super Bowl? What if he goes on the Commanders? Isn't that more reason for me to not really worry about where else he goes? Like,
sure, but if you put him on an already great, like, you know, he on the Cowboys with some of the talent.
It gives him a better chance to win other games.
Sure, but also
it's not really a worry for me, like, going against him.
Yeah, but we've never also seen him on a loaded team. We've seen him on a team that had some talent, but you put him up front with other. If the Rams got him, you wouldn't have any concern with Verse and him coming off the edge.
I mean, I think that would make the Rams more of a threat in the NFC. But
sure.
but to the Eagles, like when we line up against them, there's not really a defensive line in football that I can think of, or like any combination of defensive line in football that I think would make me worry as an Eagles fan.
Unless Todd Bowles is coaching it for some reason against the Eagles. That seems to be a problem. Oh, it's great. Joe in the Northeast. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe. How you doing? I'm like Herb. I've been on the hole for 3 hours. You know, I'm
what are we doing?
I hear you, Kyle.
Well, we made sure we got you up, Joe. Go,
well,
Joe. Go.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting up there in age there. I might have to allot my time a little bit better. I gotta take your back against this call, first of all, against this Cole Hamels. He won the 2008 World Series for us, but where was he in 2009? And he was a guy who I think that was the season he was saying, "I'm glad the season's over." And for you, not supposedly knowing baseball, you were the only one on the show there that said that. Lazardo would have been a better choice to be in the bullpen. And you're right. And you don't do that October the 6th. You start playing them, pitching them out of the bullpen earlier than that to get them ready for that, you know? So, like I said, and you.
A little pat on the back for Hugh Douglas. But, Joe, Cole Hamels is an athlete, though. That was the crux
of
the debate.
To be honest, that caller embellished that
probably,
story a lot.
Probably.
That was an embellishment
probably.
Of that story.
We might have to get Cole on to ask him what he thought when you crushed him on the air. All pitchers, including Cole Hamels, when Hugh said they're not athletes.
Yeah, I did. I was a little heavy-handed.
You were? Well, because you were trying to justify dropping, who was it, Wheeler to eighth on your list or ninth?
Well, I mean, it's my list.
Yeah, but it was bad.
It's
bad.
It's the way I feel
horrendous.
About it.
I mean,
it's the way
Joe.
I feel about it.
Go ahead, Joe.
And, you know, I don't know if you, unless when he was playing with the Jets, but Hamels always played on a good team with the Phillies. I don't think you would have said, "I can't wait for the season's over." And if it wasn't for Yu's hit,
you're pretty hard on Cole Hamels.
If it wasn't for Yu's hit on Jim Miller, they might have not been in the championship game against the Rams.
You have to credit Hugh Douglas.
Very true. I agree.
He took them out. All right. Off of that, Joe, you were right earlier what you were saying about everybody's pepped up about this baseball team. They still can't score runs, right? And this manager, I'll say it again, they're not going to win with him in reference to the pitching staff. You know, I was out, my daughter and I were out there Friday night for Jimmy Rollins to honor him.
Mm-hmm.
And if Scott doesn't beat out that base hit in the eighth inning, we weren't even going to see Duran. We would have saw Strom, because he had Strom and Duran warming up in the eighth. Would have saw Strom, and, you know, nothing against Strom's not having a good year. That game might have been over then, and we wouldn't even saw him. And when you're at home, you can use your closer in the tie ball game. See, and this guy, again, he doesn't – he had these – you know, I hear somebody saying, well, oh, they have this – the setup men now are going to be better. We got Erkrin, maybe the eighth, Strom in the seventh. This guy will not give anybody a roll. He wants to pitch the pockets. He had four good relievers last year. Everybody blames it on Hoffman and Estevez and all. He didn't use them. And they're playing 500 ball again this year like they did last year.
Well, it's really you look at the beginning of June to now, Joe, and we appreciate the phone call, and you're here right. Friday night, if Stott isn't safe at first base, we don't see Duran in that game. Here they are playing 500 ball. Now, hopefully they start playing better. But since the beginning of June, the Phillies have been 500. The Mets have been basically the same thing. No one wants to take this division and run with it. Every day it's like Mets are in first by a half. Phillies are in first by a half. It just goes back and forth, back and forth.
Watch out for the Marlins.
Well, they are 30-14 their last 44.
That is crazy.
If this continues for three more weeks, they could creep into this thing.
That is crazy, man.
I know.
But I feel like Duran has – and it's a small sampling size, I know, three days, but against a really good team in Detroit, is that it feels like they feel that if they got a shot, they feel they played. That was some phenomenal defense play last night, both ends.
It had an intensity the whole series that felt like a playoff series.
It did, and it's something to be said about somebody that comes in and gets this fan base juice the way that Duran did. That was pretty awesome.
Well, look, I'm going to the game tonight. I hope he pitches again. I mean, I don't know if he'll use him three out of four.
I don't think Kyle wants him
to pitch. Well, Kyle was like, why did he even pitch last night?
Well, it's not that I don't want him to come out tonight. I'm just like, why is he going to – he's not going to be available tonight, I don't think. So that leads me to ask the question, why did they use him last night when they didn't need to? Sanchez turned 84 pitches.
Right. If Sanchez was at 99, 100, 101, then he's probably done, right? But you're right. It was – I mean, we could be real about this. If they didn't trade for Duran last week, who pitches the ninth inning last night? Sanchez.
Sanchez, no question.
Yeah, and we would have lost our mind if it was anyone but Sanchez.
We got a shiny new toy, but like we can win both games.
I want to see.
I don't know. Hugh's selfish.
What? I'm not that selfish.
Well,
sometimes, but not today.
Yeah. Well, you did try to sell to us that Max Kepler's still playing because he made $10 million this season. Dropping the bucket for Middleton.
I sit here. And I try to parse together what I've seen over the last couple of years. And we've made mistakes with this outfield thing for the last couple of seasons, correct?
Yes. It's becoming the Eagles receivers when you played. It's insane.
I caught a strike.
And you're sitting here going, just trust him. It's going to be fine.
Just trust Pinkston. Mm-hmm. He's fine. Big spot.
That's my frat brother, by the way. We don't throw him under the bus. Okay.
How about
I don't give a shit.
I ain't throwing either one of them under the bus. They're my teammates. But anyway,
but like you would have been in a second Super Bowl if you had better teammates.
Fight the world.
I'll say it.
Well, I tell you, I'm even trying to be a grown up about this situation. This is what
grown
we devolved
up, you
into.
Took us off the rails with the Amaro thing earlier.
Phillies were so hard on Kwan.
That's Ruben, man. Ruben.
He's just trying. Ruben's a professional, unlike us.
Didn't he say something on television? No, Ruben is a professional.
Yeah, there's a lot on television.
But no, he's about the wood.
Yeah, Rube has had his moments.
215-592-9494. Final segment for your calls, you people.
Wait a minute. This is it? We're almost out of here?
Yeah. We'll come back tomorrow. We live here. All right, plus.
It's so hot.
It is hot here. We got to get to the most desperate NFL free agent, maybe in the history of the league. He's at it again. It's connected to the Eagles. That's the next Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, nothing says summer like grilling. And when I fire up the grill, you know I'm bringing the flavor. Hatfield's savory brown sugar marinated pork tenderloin is on my go-to grilling list. It's juicy, packed with that sweet, smoky goodness, and it's so easy to make. Just pop it on the grill, and boom, dinner done's right. This summer, put some pork on your fork with Hatfield. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes, tips, and where to buy Hatfield. Better care, better pork.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.